Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Cutie Pasta, and before we get started on tonight's story, I want to let you know about a new audiobook currently available on Amazon from Erie River Publishing. It Calls from the Sea, narrated by yours truly and written by the wonderful authors over at Erie River, is available exclusively on Audible. It's 25 amazing horror stories all about the horrors of the deep, stories from the sea, and those horrors from the deep that find their way on land. It was a lot of fun being able to work on this book last year, and I'm really glad to be able to see it come out. If you guys are interested in picking it up, hearing some of these great stories, and helping to support some of those wonderful folks over at Erie River, check out the link in the description down below, or you can always just search for Mr. Creepypasta on Audible to find all the books that I've worked on. And now, on to tonight's story. I know this will probably sound like kind of odd, but believe me, I'm being dead serious over here. I strongly, and I mean strongly, advise that you never trade with a fae. You look confused. So let me say this as plainly as possible. If you stumble across a fairy ring somewhere, keep cruising along your way. Just don't pay it any mind. It's for the best, believe me. Just keep trucking, don't look back, because you might offer to trade without even knowing it. That's a very bad situation. Let me explain. I was rambling around in the woods that surround my property a little while back, and I stumbled across a fairy ring. You know what I'm talking about? A fairy ring is a near-perfect circle of mushrooms. I'd seen them on a few different occasions in the past, but I didn't recognize this particular species of mushroom. It had a long, spindly stem. The cap was a weird, greenish tint that I'd never seen before. Thought it was odd enough to warrant a picture or two, so I wandered into the middle of the ring and I took a few pictures with my phone. I didn't think any more of it until I got back to my house and realized my pedometer was missing. I thought, crap, probably dropped it when I pulled out my phone. The sun was sinking low on the horizon and I was kind of pooched after the hike, so I made a mental note to go back and hunt for it the next day. I trekked back into the woods in the morning and I sifted through the carpet of dead leaves around the fairy ring, but the pedometer was nowhere to be found. While I was searching, a glittering hunk of rock caught my eye. I'd never seen anything like it before. It had a glassy, shiny surface. It was a very unusual shade of green. And I was a little bummed about losing my pedometer, but the shiny rock kind of made up for it, you know? It was a really cool find. I wondered if it might actually have some value beyond being unusual. I made a trip into town for groceries later that day, and I stopped in at a local jeweler's shop to get his opinion. He turned it in his hands, then raised an eyebrow and said, "Where'd you find this?" "A chunk of raw emerald." I felt my jaw hit the floor. The jeweler asked if I wanted to sell it. He offered me a good amount of money on the spot, no questions asked. I handed it over, I walked out of there with a decent wad of cash in my pocket. I headed back to the woods as soon as I got home. I brought a shovel along, it was time to investigate the area a little more thoroughly. I dug a series of holes inside and around the perimeter of the fairy ring, but all I found were earthworms and a flattened beer can. I put the shovel down and thought about it for a while. Where did the emerald come from? It didn't fall from the sky. I remember the pictures I had taken and pulled out my phone. I zoomed in on the interior of the fairy ring, but I couldn't see anything that resembled a big hunk of precious gemstones. It seemed that maybe the emerald actually did fall out of the sky. I murmured, or someone left it here after I was gone. I felt a funny little tingle down my spine. I was vaguely familiar with the legends that surrounded fairy rings. I mean, it's right there in the name, but I generally didn't lend much credence to that kind of thing. I thought about it some more, and I decided it wouldn't hurt anything to leave the shovel inside of the fairy ring as an experiment. It seemed harmless enough, right? I'd come back the next day and see if anything happened. And if it was still there, then, well, it was a strange coincidence. If not, well, I'd cross that bridge when it came time. I returned to the fairy ring after work the next day, and the shovel was gone. In its place, I found two copper ingots, each of them about a half the size of a brick. I picked them up and stared at them in wonder. It looked sort of crude and unevenly cast. I doubted they'd been manufactured in a modern-day copper foundry. Both ingots had been stamped with a symbol of some kind, but they were too worn and tarnished to make any sense of. I was starting to feel a bit disturbed by the whole situation. If this was a prank of some kind, it was both very elaborate and very strange. I hightailed it home and locked my new treasure in my safe. I had no clue what to do with them. I could possibly take them to a scrapyard or something, but I wasn't sure if this was a good idea. This wasn't a pile of old pines and wiring from an old renovation. These things looked like something you'd see in a display of ancient artifacts at a museum. My little experiment had yielded some very strange results, and I honestly wasn't sure what to make of it. It appeared I'd accidentally started trading goods with some unseen entity. Be it human, or, well, you know, not human. Either way, it was probably a bad idea. If the culprit was a prankster, I didn't want to be a clown for their amusement. And as for the latter possibility, hell, I could rattle off a long list of reasons to avoid engaging with the supernatural. And number one on that list was I don't want to accidentally get myself killed. I decided the best course of action was to just stay away from the area for a while. The mushrooms would die off sooner or later, and the whole incident would eventually become a spooky but ultimately harmless story for a night around the campfire. I hope so, anyway. When I got up the next morning, I opened the curtains and discovered two tiny handprints on my bedroom window. This was pretty fucking creepy by itself. But here's the kicker. My bedroom is on the second floor. You can't reach that window unless you're standing on a ladder or teetering around on a pair of stilts. The handprints were dirty, smudgy little things about 3 inches long from the heel of the palm to the tips of the fingers. All of the fingers were the same length as the thumb. And there was only 3 fingers per hand. It was really bizarre. And I didn't like it one bit. I wasn't quite at the point where I could wholly accept the existence of fairies, but I'm also not a fucking idiot. Something strange was happening, an only half-rational explanation that was also pretty far-fetched. Who would go to that much trouble to pull a prank? I don't have many close friends, they're all normal people with busy lives. My closest neighbors are several humorless middle-aged farmers. None of those people would even imagine pulling some dumb shit like that for a laugh. They're the sort of people who think the height of hilarity is to wander up and ask, "Working hard or hardly working?" You know? This wasn't a prank. In fact, it was becoming more of a situation. I had an unwelcome vision of watching myself through its eyes, keeping very still amongst the withering undergrowth as the intruder stomped around the circle. I could see my pedometer come tumbling out of my pocket, shiny and exotic, slanting autumn sun. After I had blundered away, did they study the fallen treasure and declare a trade to the whispering winds? And maybe they did. And then I came back and stupidly offered a trade again, didn't I? My shovel, which they decided was worth exactly 2 copper ingots. But what are they exactly? A fairy? A whole group of fairies? What the heck do you call a group of fairies anyway? All I had were questions without answers, but the most pressing question of all was, why did they come to my house? My growing fear, absurd as it may have seemed, was that I pissed them off when I took the copper and didn't offer a new trade. I didn't know how this arrangement was supposed to work, but it's not like I had to sign a contract or anything. Maybe they were just curious? Hell, as far as I knew, the little bastards were planning to skip the whole trading thing and just rob my house. I checked out the rest of the house, room by room, and discovered the same set of handprints on almost every window. Again, I had the uncomfortable notion the little fuckers had been casing my house. And in the end, my hunch proved to be sort of half right. A window in my kitchen was standing open. My toaster oven was missing. An iron dagger had been left in its place. The copper ingots, the blade looked like it had been roughly manufactured with a primitive forge. It was 10 inches long, set into a wooden handle. Both sides of the blade were honed to a fine edge. Despite its apparent age, it was in almost perfect condition. I gave it an experimental stab in the air and thought, yeah, this thing's probably killed someone. There's no doubt the dagger was worth more than my shitty toaster oven, but that wasn't the problem. The Problem was, I had somehow got locked into a trade agreement with supernatural forces beyond my understanding. If I didn't bring another item out to the fairy ring, they'd just come to my house and make the trade without me. It's probably lucky that they made off with my toaster oven and not my car. I sat down with my morning coffee. Thank fuck they didn't take the coffee maker. I mulled over my situation as I played around with the dagger. What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to call the cops? I already knew that wouldn't fly. If this is a movie, I just googled how to get rid of fairies, and I'd end up with joining forces with some kooky old guy that was an expert in folklore. The old guy had probably sacrificed his own life for no good reason during a climactic battle, and the credits would roll after I tearfully reunited with my kitchen appliances. In reality, my choices were slim. I could continue to trade with them willingly, or they could just break into my house and take whatever the hell they wanted. I doubted I could stop them from getting in. They'd somehow unlock the window from the outside without breaking the glass. This was a pretty impossible feat. They did it anyway. Maybe I can reason with them, I said out loud. Then I laughed to myself. I mean, could they even understand English? Once again, if this was a Hollywood movie, the thieving little fucks would probably speak to me in a posh British accent, but what if they didn't speak any human language at all? Past or present. To them, my words might sound like the teacher in the old Charlie Brown cartoon, you know, just a muffled string of truncated syllables. Wah, 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 wah. It was even possible they were hardly able to perceive me at all. There'd just be a vague, fleeting shadow in their eyes. Who could say? My eccentric folklore expert wasn't real, so I was working in the dark over here. After a lengthy debate with myself and several more coffees, I grabbed the backpack and gathered up the money from the jeweler, the copper ingots, and the dagger. I hiked out to the fairy ring and plopped the backpack in the middle of the circle. Now that I was standing out in the fresh air and the sunshine, I was starting to feel pretty fucking stupid. I grimaced at my moronic predicament and called out, hey, can I get your attention for a minute? Listen, I never actually meant to trade anything with you folks. It was all a misunderstanding. So here's all your stuff back, okay? I sold the emerald, but all the money is right there. I got you a good price. And you can keep all my stuff. That's fine by me. So yeah, we square. Sorry about that. It was a big mix-up. Okay. Take care. I walked away with a deep sense of relief, mingled with some mild embarrassment. My brain understood that fairies and shit like that aren't real, but my heart said otherwise. I mean, either way, I felt I had done the right thing. I slept like a baby that night. Morning came, and I brought an unwelcome surprise along with it. I found the dagger, the copper, and the money laying in a row on my living room carpet. Much to my dismay, they had been joined by a fourth object. It looked a bit like a flute, and it was made out of clay. Once again, the doors and windows had been locked up tight, but they got inside anyway. I wandered around, looking to see if anything was missing, and then I remembered the backpack. I thought, good work, idiot, you made another accidental trade. I was starting to get angry. Although I appreciated their honesty when doing commerce, I really didn't want these weird little fuckers breaking into my house at night. It was creepy as all kinds of levels, and it was time for it to stop. After I got home from work, I marched out into the woods and stomped up the fairy ring. I dumped their unwanted goods into the circle and yelled, "Listen up! No more trading! Stay away from my house, do you understand? I don't want to do this anymore, you little dickheads!" I waited for a response, but of course, it was nothing but the wind in the treetops. I growled in frustration and flipped my invisible tormentors the bird. I demanded, "Well, do you get it?" There was still no response. So I decided to take their silence as a yes, and I went home. At this point, I was very fucking tired of trekking out to the woods to deal with my invisible nuisance. That's what I thought they were. A mild nuisance. Like a family of raccoons tearing up the garage at night. I had no idea how bad I'd just fucked up. But I found out very soon. I woke up in the small hours of the morning with a horrific flare of pain in my left hand. I sat up in the darkness and fumbled for the lamp, but something was wrong. My hand was wet. I couldn't get a good grip on the pull chain. There was a fluttering commotion in my bedroom window, and for a brief instant, I thought I saw a diminutive figure illuminated by the moonlight. Just a flash of a tiny silhouette as the curtain was pulled aside. Then it was gone. I grabbed the pull chain with my other hand, and I screamed when the light turned on. I was missing my middle finger on my left hand. I wrapped it tight with a t-shirt and frantically searched my bedroom, but my finger was gone. As I searched my room, I realized I could smell something foul at the foot of my bed. And I found a pile of tiny and explosively stinky little turds on the blanket. The message was clear. The little bastards had removed the finger I used to flip them the bird, and they left behind an insult of their own. The fairy poop dissipated before my eyes, melting away and disappearing in a matter of seconds. If it weren't for the fact that I still had a bleeding stump of a finger on my left hand, I wouldn't have believed it. I told the nurse at the emergency room that I accidentally cut it off with a hatchet and lost it in the darkness. She asked why I was splitting firewood in the middle of the night, and I told her to mind her own business. I could see that she didn't believe me. The doctor, he told me the wound was far too clean to be the crushing wound from a hatchet. But I stubbornly stuck to my story, and in the end, I was obviously lucid, and I could answer all the questions. They didn't hold me for any mental health issues. Instead, they patched me up, they handed me a prescription for some antibiotics and painkillers, and they sent me on my way. I mean, what else was I going to do? Tell them the truth? That wouldn't have gone over very well at all. I stayed far away from that section of the woods in the winter. When spring came, the fairy ring was gone. My stump healed over by then. And although it still aches sometimes, I got used to working around my missing finger. Can't play the guitar anymore. And I wasn't very good at it anyway, so not really that much of a loss. Unfortunate. You know. They took my finger, not like my spleen or something. I haven't seen a fairy ring since, and I hope that it stays that way. If I ever see another one, I'm gonna stay the hell away from it. So should you. Might seem like a really cool idea at first, but God, believe me, it's not. Little fuckers are serious about their business, and eventually you'll mess up somehow, and you'll wake up bleeding all over yourself. That is, if you even wake up at all.
Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I want to tell you thanks so much for watching tonight's video or listening to tonight's episode of the podcast, if you happen to be listening to this as a podcast, or as a YouTube, or however else you managed to have found this story for tonight. And, as always, I would love to give a big thank you to everyone who's supporting me over on Patreon. You guys are the real MVPs, you guys keep things going, especially while things have been nuts for me over the past couple of months. And things have been getting crazier and crazier as time goes on. You guys are the ones who are keeping me sane. And I mean that with all sincerity, that you guys have helped me immensely. So, in my personal life and my professional life, I want to give a very big thank you to
Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Jacob Bensky, Chance Burnett, Diana Krause, Lakeda Canizales, Mr. B. Poster Pedal Squeezer, Gattis, Joseph Calarudo, Woody B., Dante Kincaid, Foxhound 803, Mephistopheles, Curse Pox Primark, Bastion Beefcake, Jeff the Killer's Cultist, Love You M&M, M, Insanity Gamer X, Jesus Corneo, Yargul, Amber Clark, Jay Kearns, Himbo Jerry, Sam Ahai, Crusader Chocobo, Adam Arias, Captain Scurvy, Escadine, Raiden Morris, Nate Cull, Our Min Sec Time, Angelus, Seclude, That Creepy Chick, Red Shadow Cat, Xavier and Cheyenne, Six Gay Rats and a Trench Coat, Turtle Man, Cryolinium, Lord Life's Best, Goring Trimagazy, Mr. Marcus Blitz, Ike Limchok, Dirt Diver 030, Matt Bach, Voice of Sam, Shelly J, Fikamel, Deleted Account, Melted Lake, Tully Sue, William King, Sashi Sasaku, Stricken, Freddy Krueger, Happy Birthday, Jason Wilson, Lisa Cottrell, Caspian, Hades Nephew, Tater Chip, Acid System, Mog, Kiwi the Sloth, Fester's Lampshade, Nico Kyle, The Ginger Bros, and Stormcrow, Daniel Paulson, and Corey Kenshin.
To everyone on this list, everyone in the description, and of course anyone who could support even just $1, thank you all so much for making my life significantly easier with this. And if you guys would like to be able to join any of the names that you see here or down there or anything at all, head over to patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta. And with that, I wish you all a very, very pleasant night and sweet dreams.